Welcome to Radio Gorgeous, Kaz Freer, author of Sweet Little Lies, which is phenomenally the winner of the Richard and Judy Search for a Bestseller Competition 2017. Welcome, Kaz.
Hi, thank you for having me.
First, let's talk about that.
Gosh, where to begin?
Yeah.
I think I'm still in a daze, to be honest. It was just a whirlwind, really. I mean, the emotional side of it, but just getting, I found out the end of January and the book came out last week. So that's, 5 months from finding out I was going to be published to being published, which is just the craziest turnaround ever. So it's just been a whirlwind of book covers, titles, interviews, exciting quotes from amazing authors that I've loved my whole life, and meeting Richard Madeley and Judy a couple of times. And yeah, I'm just a bit dazed.
So, because I want to, before we talk about the book in particular, I do want to talk about, I think you said you've always, you know, told stories, you were going to write a book, I'm going to write a book. Tell me how that happened, and then also how the submittal happened.
Yep.
So tell me what gave you the courage to actually start writing.
I think just getting to that point where if I don't do it now, I'll never do it. But also, I think I'd sort of struggled with self-doubt for so long. You know, while you're dreaming about it, you're not failing at it. So I always had this, I'm going to give it a go at some point. But I could never, I'd start something and not finish it. And then I got the idea for the book that we'll talk about, and I was probably about 25,000 bad words in when I decided to do a creative writing course, and that was it was quite an intense 6-month course, one or two nights a week, and that was kind of getting onto that course because it was selective. Kind of gave me the, all right, okay, so maybe I can write. And being around lots of other writers as well was just, and getting all that feedback and getting that the course was about how to write, but it was also about the industry and, you know, how difficult it was, but sort of what you needed to be aware of. It was just amazing 6 months. And I finished that, and my 25,000 words were probably in a little bit better shape, but there was still lots of work to do. And then I just started seeing this Richard and Judy competition everywhere and didn't do anything. As you think, oh, well, I won't even get shortlisted. And then friends and family just kept sending it to me saying, well, you're writing a book. Why don't you go in for this? And eventually, I think it was about a week before the deadline, I just thought, right, I think it was the first 10,000 words you had to complete and send. And I just thought, I'll polish those to within an inch of my life, not worry about the rest, and get them off. And I did, and I didn't really expect to hear anything. I think doing the creative writing course gave me the confidence that I could sort of write. And in my head, I thought, well, wouldn't it be nice to submit to the Richard and Judy competition? I won't get shortlisted, but maybe I might get a nice email back saying, you haven't been shortlisted, but we really enjoyed it. Keep going. I just thought maybe I was at that point where I wouldn't get a complete auto rejection, but didn't think I'd be shortlisted. And then, yeah, on the day they said the shortlistees, is that a word, would be contacted, they did. And I missed the call. I was in the shower.
Did you just take it in with you?
Well, do you know, it was quite late on in the day as well. And it was that sort of, they'd have called by now. And yeah, it was about 4 p.m. and I just nipped into the shower. And then when I came back, I saw this mobile number I didn't recognise. And you're thinking, if this is, have you been injured in a fall? I'm going to toss this out the window. But it wasn't. It was a very nice chat from Bonnier. Not saying any, just saying, can you call me back? But I thought, well, I'm not calling you back, presumably for you to tell me my submission was terrible and never to darken your door again. So yeah, and that was a year ago today, pretty much. It was, I think it was the 30th of June. So
right, and so in that time, you had to then write the rest of the book, presumably.
Yeah, it was sort of just before Christmas, you had to have the book in. So that was, yeah, But that was one of the best things I ever did, giving myself that deadline, because I think that's the debut authors. You start novels and you don't finish them, or you start them and life takes over and you start to think, well, I can't just let my ego be all about this book. I do have parents to visit and a job to do, etc., etc. Whereas this was a kind of, guys, I'm going away for 5 months. Call me if you need me kind of scenario, which is just what I needed, really.
Yeah, so it sounds to me like that was, you know, sort of, you had enough belief and sort of you called your own bluff by applying to the course.
Yeah, yeah.
In the first place.
Yeah.
And then had to up your ante as you went on. But you upped your ante in sort of commensurate steps with your confidence and your skill and your knowledge as you grew along.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. What was the course, if I might ask you?
Curtis Brown Creative.
Okay.
Who they've had lots of success. And I had an amazing tutor, and I couldn't recommend them enough. But I think a lot of it, you don't even realise until you finish the course how much you've got from it. The craft of writing is one thing, but just understanding the industry a bit more and just being around writers. You know, all my friends are readers, most of them are readers, but just being with people, sitting in a room and thinking, okay, you make things up about people and you have imaginary friends in your head as well. This is amazing. I just never really had that before. But it was
having that community also helped bolster your
completely.
Confidence. Yeah. Excellent. Well, let's get to Sweet Little Lies now. Introduce us to your main character, Kat Kinsella.
So Kat is in her mid-20s, and she's been with the Met for about 4 years. And she's doing well, but sort of as we first meet her in the book, she's had a bit of a flip out at a crime scene, which is an understandable flip out, and she's sort of been watched by her superiors for is she really cut out for murder or not. So she's on a little bit of a knife edge anyway. And then everything goes terribly wrong. The book is basically about Kat and her suspicions that her dad may be involved in a murder that she's investigating. And then that murder links back to the disappearance of a girl 18 years ago that her dad also could be tentatively linked to as well. So it's a sort of, it's a police procedural at heart, but it's kind of got that crossover family, domestic noir, you know, can we trust the people closest to us going on with it as well. So I love police procedurals. I love watching them. I love reading them. But it's trying to sort of take that and put a bit more of a personal touch on it. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of how she came about.
Excellent. And it takes place, well, the current murder is in the Exmouth Market. So it's London based. And she grew up, you know, sort of right there.
Yeah.
In the pub.
Yeah.
You know, that her father was a publican. And a tangential part of the story is sort of, you know, local crime boss. And when you work on the margins, as it were, you know, you don't always get in with good bedfellows. And in order to do sort of also old school, if you want to do local business, you have to be in with who's in the area. And do their bidding. So her father is not only a publican, but possibly there's dodgy things in and out.
Dodgy is definitely.
Well dodgy. And he has some well dodgy friends. Which makes it all the more plausible that he may have some knowledge, may be involved, etc. The family aspect of it, and as a police procedural, it has everything that we want, I might say. There's a reason for the best-selling aspect to this, because it is very pacey, it is very, the twists and the turns, the surprises, the connections, all reveal in a very suspenseful and engaging and entertaining way. The family aspect of things, and hence the name Sweet Little Lies. Let's explore that a little bit. Because for me, her relationship with her father has always been about lies. It's based on lies.
Pretty much, yeah, since she was 7 or 8 years old. And actually probably even before then, because he is just, as comes out, he was a born liar, which doesn't necessarily make him the world's worst person, but she's always been sort of slightly manipulated by her father, even as a child. She talks about when she was very little, she was manipulated with sugar, don't tell mum, and, you know, turn a blind eye to this and we'll stop at the shop on the way home. That all turns on its head after the incident. I don't know how much I should go into for spoiling things, but
yeah, don't spoil things.
But I think they've both been manipulating each other from that point, because the idea being that she never really knows what he did and he never really knows why she's turned against him, but she kind of knows what he did and he kind of knows
that she knows.
They just have this standoff that neither of them will ever really, really talk about. And I think, you know, everybody, probably maybe a watered down version, perhaps not as serious a version, but I think every family has those things. You just don't go there because it's not worth going there, and you brush it under the carpet, but these things always kind of have a habit of coming back to bite you, as they do.
I would say, because the family dynamic, I mean, as I said, you know, dad's a bit of a cheeky chappy. The mother has passed away, who was from Ireland, so the mother has passed away. And Kat sort of sees herself as sort of the guardian of her mother's memory, and what she withstood at the hands of her father, as she perceives it.
Yeah.
She has an older sister who is, you know, desperately trying to play happy families and keep everyone glued together, trying to sort of steps in as surrogate mom almost.
Yeah.
In the family. And then there's her younger brother, you know, who's sort of a chip off the old block.
Got the dodgy gene.
Yes, exactly. That's the dodgy gene, etc. So that's sort of the family dynamic. But what it also occurred to me was that same, you know, families have the power to make us or break us.
Yeah.
And in starting, you know, a lot of the struggles and habits that Kat has were born in that relationship with her father, you know, sort of possibly some comfort eating in her older self, but also that steeped in lies, you know, an authority figure steeped in lies, or relationship steeped in lies. So she has sort of a father figure at work, and lies start creeping in there. And then a relationship, again, based on sort of lies and not telling the truth. And sort of, and then there's another family where things keep getting repeated and reverberated down the generations as well.
I think she just, it's interesting because she has this such a difficult relationship with her father. But I think if you looked at, even though her mum isn't there, she's still quite present in the novel. She is probably more like her dad than anybody else. And she finds it, even though it's not for bad intentions, she finds it very easy to lie to people. She does, and I hope it comes across that she does agonise a little bit with some of the decisions she has to make. But ultimately, she acts in her own interests. and the interests of her family, most of the time. Whereas, I don't know, I've thought about it so much, what would I do? In that situation.
Yeah, because she's not so very different from that, even though she's in a position you know, of authority and sort of has rectitude and right on her side. I thought it was a really great portrait of that. And she also has sort of it's sort of her fatal flaw.
Yeah.
And as we all know, long-standing, long-running series of detectives, they gotta have a fatal flaw.
Yeah.
Our hero has to have a fatal flaw. So, which leads me to ask you, because it seems like it has very long legs, Is this the first in a series?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah. How exciting.
Yeah. And I'm starting to work on book two at the moment, and it's a completely different story, but the shadow will hang over her, let's say. There's certain elements of Sweet Little Lies that will sort of keep coming back to haunt her. And, you know, there's definitely some relationships there that need more exploring. Mm-hmm. And I think I enjoyed writing the family stuff so much that I would just want to continue that anyway. So it'd be a completely new murder she's investigating. But it's interesting to now be writing something where she isn't at the centre. It is probably in that sense going to be a little bit more of a traditional police procedural, because she is a detective just investigating a crime, but she has all this very difficult stuff going on around her as well.
Yeah, her family can't be involved in every yeah. in every crime she solves. But yeah, and tell me something, you know, of the other characters, because you have very, you know, you seem to have just sort of all the characters of Life on Mars and all that, you know what I mean? Those kinds of characters. You have a strong female DCI Steele. Tell me a little bit about her character. She was very interesting.
Yeah, she's I sort of based her on somebody I used to work with years and years ago who I didn't even know that well. She was head of another department and we'd occasionally speak, but I didn't really know her that well. But she was tiny, but incredibly glamorous, and just everyone was like that teacher you used to have at school that you respected, but you were terrified of them. And if they pat you on the head, you glowed for days. And that's exactly like this lady was. But yeah, really beautiful makeup, always really well done. But I wanted her to be, she could, if she wanted to, be nearing retirement age. But she's still got that sort of huge ambition, and I almost wanted, it's not a mother figure so much with Steele, it's more of a girl crush, I think, that she's just,
and a mentor in a without getting too close.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But it was, when I did my first draft, Steele featured in it probably a lot more than she ended up, even though she still is one of the central characters. But I think the big thing that I wanted to do was for it to be accurate and the authenticity. And I did quite a lot of research with detectives that I know now. And they were sort of talking about some of their frustrations with what's on TV or they read. And they were saying actually somebody at her level just does not get involved into the day-to-day business of a, even though every single TV show would probably show they are managers, and yes, they might be there at the point of charging somebody and I really wanted to kind of try and stick to that. I wanted her sort of shadow, to use that word again, to be always present, for her to be talked about and for her to be constantly flitting in and having this relationship with Kat. But essentially to sort
she's
of stick.
Boss.
Yeah, she's mm-hmm. the boss. She's not there to interview. And that was a revelation to me. So one of the police officers I met was saying, oh, a DCI wouldn't go near a witness. They wouldn't interview, you know, unless it was a celebrity that had been, you know, something major. They just wouldn't go near it. So I absolutely love Linda LaPlante, and I love the, you know, the level of research that she goes into. And I could never, at the moment, I could never even get near that. But as much as I can, I like to try and stick to what the procedure is.
How did you approach detectives to talk to? Like, what, just call up? I mean, how do you...
A couple of them were friends of friends, and they were... my hairdresser's husband was probably the one that I used most. And then there was just one guy, because of something that he'd been involved in on LinkedIn. And I just, from my previous job, I was always on LinkedIn, and he was retired, and I contacted him, and they're always really happy to help. Certainly the guy that I contacted was, but it is tricky trying to balance the getting it right, but also appreciating you're writing fiction and there needs to be pace. You can't wait 4 chapters for a blood test to come back. Or... the best guy that I worked with, we got to the point where he would just say to me, look, what do you need to happen? And let me try and think of a way that it sort of could legally happen, rather than, you know, a couple of other people would just like, that would never happen. But it has to. I need these parts to come together.
Yeah, all of your moving parts exactly. have to collide at a certain, at a certain point.
I love that piece. I love it a bit too much. I think I can get lost. Maybe I'm a frustrated detective or something, but I can get lost in the murder investigation manual, this huge thing that I ordered off Amazon. I could get lost in it, and then you have to remember, I'm not writing a paper here. I'm writing a novel. They've written this book, so I don't actually need to rewrite it. Yeah, exactly. I'm sure they can write that book far better than I can.
Here's a question. So, you're working on your second book, won this prize, you have a writing contract. Do you consider yourself... If I asked you, if I look on LinkedIn, are you a writer?
No, probably not yet. I don't know when the imposter syndrome goes away. I should do. I am a writer. I'm a full-time, you know, this has been my absolute dream, but I don't know. Do you feel like you should have hit a level once it hits this number of sales, or once I'm on book three and once the series is established? But...
Well, how about I put it this way? As family does seem very important to you, I bet your family considers you a writer.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, well, keep trusting them. How's about that?
Yeah, fine. My mum most certainly does.
So there you are. And we all know whatever your mum thinks about you is certainly the
exactly, truth. Exactly, because she's not remotely biased at all. She's not walking around my hometown with a sandwich board of Sweet Little Lies. And she does. She does make me laugh. Me and my brother winds her up by saying, if it's not us, she cannot bear a show off. She cannot bear showing off until it's one of us. And then you've got to go out. You've got to promote. You've got to...
You're all of a sudden different rules apply.
Yeah, completely different rules apply to your own children. But that's normal, I hear.
That is the essence of family.
Yeah.
Kaz, congratulations.
Thank you.
And thank you so much. I'm really looking forward to the second book.
Thank you very much. Thanks.